Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 125 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 125 of WrestleTopia gets underway. Happy Tuesday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all, as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW gets underway. And before I get into last night's Monday Night Raw, I gotta address the major story that broke yesterday afternoon regarding the arrest of Jeff Hardy on DUI charges while driving with a suspended license, no less, in Volusia, Florida. I believe there was some kind of fan event that he and his brother attended, and after the event was over, he got behind the wheel and he was swerving on the road. He had to be stopped by police and he could not complete the field sobriety test. He was at least two times over the legal drinking limit. He was arrested around 12:45 a.m. Eastern last night. He has since posted bail, but he will have a court appearance sometime today regarding the next steps in his upcoming trial. And this was very disheartening news to see yesterday. And there was supposed to be a AEW World Tag Team Championship ladder match tomorrow night on Dynamite. That match has been pulled from advertising. There has been no formal statement from AEW regarding this news, but according to various reports, AEW has told WarnerMedia to please pull all ads featuring Jeff Hardy from television, hyping up this match on Wednesday. I do not know his status with AEW at this point. We might find out more information later today as the news continues to unfold. I was thinking about what I should say about this situation regarding Jeff Hardy, and all I can think about is the fact that we've been down this road more than once in the last 20 years or so. The rap sheet speaks for itself. Jeff Hardy has given this industry so much, but at the same time, you have to take responsibility for your actions. And there is a failure in accountability. And addiction is an ongoing struggle that you can never fully shake. Recovery is a journey. And I wonder, where is the bottom for Jeff Hardy? How far can you fall in order to realize this is not the life you want to live for yourself or for your family? Because I'm going to be real honest. Driving under the influence is absolutely idiotic. You should call Uber, Lyft, a cab, have a designated driver to get you to where you need to go. There is no excuse for you to grab your keys, turn on the ignition, and drive recklessly. Somebody could have gotten killed, which would have been the ultimate tragedy. Thankfully, nobody got hurt, including Jeff, on the road on Sunday night, early Monday morning. And now we got to wonder what's next for Jeff. I hope it's some form of help. He denied that help when he was cut by WWE last December, claiming he didn't have a problem. But here lieth the problem again. And he's got to figure out the root cause once and for all before this really spirals out of control. And I keep thinking about his performances in AEW over the last month or so. His body is betraying him. He's taken a lot of bumps in a short period of time, and maybe he's using alcohol as a coping mechanism. That is what I would assume. But you can't let that numb your pain. Sometimes you gotta let your body rest and heal on its own. Sometimes you gotta step away from the grind. Sometimes you gotta work smarter. And I feel as if he's done too many stunt matches in AEW so far, from a street fight to Anything Goes to a tables match to what was going to be a ladder match tomorrow night on Dynamite. I think it was too much, and his body cannot take those kind of bumps and bounce back with the same regularity. I don't think it's possible for him to do that. And I saw that when he wrestled Bobby Fish about a month ago during the qualifying match for the Owen Hart Cup. I just felt something was off. He was moving a beat slower, and he's been moving slower ever since. And sometimes you use alcohol to numb the pain. I get it, but that cannot be the be-all cure when it's not going to do you any good long-term. And that's the first step. And the second step is the root cause beyond the physical ailments. And he's got to figure that out for himself. That might take rehab. That might take some form of therapy to figure out why you drink, why you make these reckless decisions that puts your life and others' lives at risk on the road. He has got to figure that out. He must be willing to take that journey of self-discovery for himself and for his family to get on the right path and stay there. It's possible. I believe he can do it. He's got to believe he can do it. And I hope that AEW is going to provide services for him to seek the help he needs. And if he refuses, you got to cut bait. You can't save anyone that doesn't want to be saved. That is sad, but true. And I hope that Tony Khan puts him on that ultimatum. You need to get help. You need to figure out what's going on. And you have to find a way forward to better yourself and to be there for your family long term. And I hope Jeff figures it out for himself. And it's just so sad to see that story and the mugshot and to read the details of the police report. It was a gut punch. And I just hope that Jeff takes accountability and owns up to what he did and how he can move forward by getting the help he needs. There is no time to be in denial about what's going on because it's clear as day. We've been through this time and time again. We've been through the highs and lows of Jeff Hardy's road to recovery and sobriety and the relapses along the way. And I hope this latest relapse is going to set him up for a bigger comeback, not only for his career, but as his role as father, husband, brother, uncle, friend. He's got to focus on that first and foremost before even pursuing a career in the ring again, in AEW or otherwise. The true healing begins with oneself. And I hope he can find a way forward through all of this. And a PSA, do not drink and drive. Do not put yourself or others at risk. Get a designated driver, call Uber, call Lyft, call a cab in 2022. Do not risk your life and others by driving recklessly on the road while under the influence. That is the lesson of the day, the end. And here's hoping that is a lesson learned for Jeff Hardy moving forward. And now we got to make that tough but necessary transition to last night's episode of Monday Night Raw, going down live from the Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita, Kansas. And this was a very average episode of Monday Night Raw. Cody Rhodes was missed first week without the countdown clock or Cody, so that sucked. But the show on a whole was fine. We had a very questionable main event, which I'll get to shortly, as we kick things off with an extra special edition of Miz TV featuring The Miz and extra special guest Paul Heyman, the legendary special counsel for the undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns. And The Miz waxed poetically about the importance of winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, moving on to cash in against a vulnerable opponent who is weakened after a tough matchup. You cash in and you can become like The Miz, a two-time Money in the Bank winner, a two-time WWE champion, the only true Grand Slam champion in WWE. And who's to say I won't cash in a third time this year? And The Miz tells Paul Heyman that the winner of this Money in the Bank briefcase could go on to cash in on Roman Reigns. And Paul Heyman says, you know what? That's not going to happen because Roman Reigns is unbeatable in every way. The winner of the Money in the Bank briefcase might have an 85% chance of winning, but not against Roman Reigns. Those odds shrink down to 0%, which leads to Riddle coming out. And Paul Heyman already says, like, listen, Riddle does not deserve a chance at this Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. And we're going to raise the stakes this Friday on SmackDown. Riddle basically tells The Miz, how's your balls after last week's episode of Monday Night Raw? And then he tells Paul that Roman basically has to kill him in order to keep that championship. And Heyman gives Riddle this stipulation: if Riddle wins, guess what? You are the undisputed Universal Champion. Hell will have frozen over. Congrats to you. But if you lose to Roman Reigns, which you will not be able to challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship as long as Roman Reigns is the champion. And Riddle's down for that, despite the high risks involved. And Heyman calls out the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, the undisputed WWE tag team champs, to ambush Riddle. But the Street Profits make the save as we set up Jimmy Uso versus Montez Ford after the commercial break. I really enjoyed the segment for Riddle and Heyman alone. Miz, not so much. It was basically a PR machine hyping up the importance of Money in the Bank. But I love Riddle's fire. His ability to be serious and also throw a little shade at Miz when need be was a lot of fun. And Paul Heyman was the great antagonist on the mic, trying to get under Riddle's skin. But Riddle fights back, and I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to Riddle versus Reigns with the Universal Championship this Friday on SmackDown. I do not foresee a title change, but I expect one hell of a fight. that's going to have the crowd popping on their feet for those key near falls down the stretch, and Riddle will lose, but the effort in the end will be everything as we get set for Jimmy Uso versus Montez Ford, which was solid. Jimmy drops Montez Ford with a gnarly suplex on the hardest part of the ring. You guessed it, the ring apron. As we go to commercial break, we come back and Montez lands enziguri and a spine buster on Jimmy for a near fall. Jimmy responds back with a pop-up Samoan drop for the action spills near the ring apron once again. And Jimmy Uso is going to go after Montez Ford, but Montez moves out the way as Jimmy goes face first into the ring post before going for a suplex on Jimmy Uso from the top rope. Jimmy shakes it off. Montez goes for Hurricanrana instead, which is kind of shaky in all honesty. He goes for the cash off frog splash, but Jimmy gets the knees up and he rolls up Montez Ford for the win. This was a fine match, a little bit slow in spots, but picked up nicely down the stretch as we go 50-50 booking with the Usos and the Street Profits ahead of their eventual Unified Tag Team Championship match at a date to be determined. Next up is Becky Lynch versus Dana Brooke in a rematch for the 24/7 Championship, and this match did not happen as Becky Lynch beat Dana Brooke's ass from the jump, beat her ass at ringside, smashed her head repeatedly into the announce table before stomping on her head, which was wedged between the covering of the announce table for a good measure, and she grabs the mic to say, "I'm tired of being disrespected. I don't give a damn about this championship. You can keep it. It's about people respecting me and the sacrifices I made for this division. I was the champ for a very long time, and now I got people not appreciating my greatness. But for every setback, there's a greater comeback, and my story is not over. You see those briefcases hanging high above the ring? I was denied 4 years ago of my shot to be Miss Money in the Bank, and I would not let that happen again. I'm going to climb that ladder, and I am going to make all of my championship dreams come true again." Asuka comes out to confront Becky Lynch. They get into a fight, and Asuka delivers the two-piece special of spinning back fist kicks, more spinning back fists, German suplexes for good measure, as Becky scurries out of the ring, which sets up a Money in the Bank qualifying match next Monday featuring Asuka versus Becky Lynch again. We have seen this match a lot on television over the past month or so. It's always good, but at some point it does get tedious, and I love Asuka and Becky Lynch. Their matches never miss, but we have been down this road time and time again, and this needs to be the blow-off effective next Monday. But as always, we shall see. Next up is another Money in the Bank qualifying match featuring the team of Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss versus Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. And Nikki has got some new attire. The black and gold superhero gear looks pretty nice. But of course, the outcome is never in doubt despite the power of Doudrop dominating Alexa Bliss early on with a senton for a near fall. Liv Morgan gets the high tag and she delivers a series of strikes to Doudrop and the co-breaker for good measure for a very close near fall. Doudrop is able to fight through. Nikki A.S.H. gets the high tag and she goes after Liv for a bit. Liv avoids another seton from Doudrop on the floor, but Nikki kicks her in the head. But as she celebrates, Alexa Bliss delivers a knockout punch followed by that DDT for the win as Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss advances to the Money in the Bank ladder match in Las Vegas in a few weeks' time on Peacock. And I love this duo. I think they have a lot of potential as a tag team whenever WWE gives a shit about the women's tag team titles again. We shall see about that. But I just really enjoy Liv and Alexa getting that push heading into Money in the Bank, and I want Liv in the Bank to reign supreme this year. I think it's her time to be a player in the Raw Women's Division, and what better way to do that than to be Miss Money in the Bank 2022 and call your shot when need be for either the Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship. Next up is MVP versus Cedric Alexander, and this is a very quick match as Cedric is distracted by Omos long enough for MVP to hit him with a playmaker for the win. Poor Cedric Alexander has been going through it ever since he helped Bobby Lashley win that match at Hell in a Cell nearly 2 weeks ago on Peacock. And I don't like his trajectory on Monday nights. It ain't looking favorable for him long term, which sucks because he's really talented. And he has petitioned a best of seven series featuring himself versus Mustafa Ali. And after Ali's fate last night, that might not be a bad idea moving forward. Give me 7 weeks of Ali and Alexander tearing shit up on Monday nights. And then they can form a tag team like Cesaro and Sheamus 6 years ago. And they can go on a run as tag team champions. That would be a great way to elevate their careers. But in WWE, you never know what you're going to get. And I doubt we're going to get that, even though that would be the best way to make a star at the end of the day. Next up is Kevin Owens versus Elias. I'm sorry, I take that back. Ezekiel. And Kevin Owens dodges the running knee strike by Ezekiel. goes for a super kick followed by a cannonball in the corner, and the Satan for a very close near fall. He's basically dominating Elias. I'm sorry, Ezekiel. Until Ezekiel grabs dude for a AA on the steel steps. Not on the flat surface, on the edge of the steel steps as Kevin Owens writhes in pain on the floor as we go to commercial break. We come back and Kevin Owens does a frog splash on Ezekiel to regain the advantage, but Zeke responds with a jumping knee strike and those stinger splashes in the corner. KO avoids another splash and he goes on the announce table and he is flipping out, saying that is Elias, not Ezekiel. He's tearing shit apart and he gets counted out. Ezekiel wins the match via countout. And to troll Kevin Owens even more, he tells the world that his brother will be live in concert next Monday on Raw, and the crowd pops for that announcement. And I cannot wait to see Elias and his beard back in full effect. How will they pull this off? Is this an elaborate pre-tape from months ago? Will he grow a beard in a week? We'll see. But Kevin Owens' head is about to explode in the best possible way if Elias and Ezekiel are at the same place at the same time, breathing the same air to prove they are in fact two different people. Next up is by far the best damn match from last night's show, featuring AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. And Seth Rollins cut a promo backstage earlier in the show saying he was proud to eradicate the virus known as Cody Rhodes from WWE. He meant everything he said last week about respecting Cody's performance at Money in the Bank. He might not like him, but he respects him. But at the same time, he had to protect Cody from Cody. He had to put him down with that sledgehammer, and now he's going to move on to bigger and better things, including becoming Mr. Money in the Bank again and to pull off the second greatest cash-in after his first one 7 years ago at WrestleMania 31. And as the interview concludes, AJ Styles attacks Seth Rollins and fucks up his man bun in the process, which I greatly appreciated heading into this matchup last night. And Styles and Rollins work great together as always. They got the crowd into it down the stretch as well, as Rollins lays out AJ with a tope over the announce table as we go to commercial break. We come back and AJ Styles has opportunities against Rollins, including a facebuster for a very close near fall, but the positioning of that arm prevented AJ from making the clean cover, and Rollins goes for the buckle bomb. AJ counters that into a calf crusher and Seth struggles to grab the ropes to break the hold. Eventually, AJ Styles fights back by absorbing an enziguri before laying out Rollins with a Pele kick. They exchange strikes and counters until Styles delivers an exploder vertical suplex into the turnbuckles before going for the phenomenal forearm, which Rollins avoids as he chop blocks the left knee of AJ Styles. He goes for a pedigree, but Styles reverses that into a Hiroshi Goshi for a very close near fall. Rollins responds with a buckle bomb into a frog splash attempt, which misses. Styles goes for the Styles Clash, but Rollins is able to wiggle through and roll up Styles for the win by using Styles' bad leg as leverage to score the win. I thought this was a great match, by far the best thing in the ring from last night's show. These guys never miss together in the ring, and Seth Rollins is one step closer to being a two-time Money in the Bank winner. And I'm not opposed to Seth winning because he could be the ultimate saboteur heading into next year's Royal Rumble and ultimately WrestleMania, with Cody clamoring for a chance to be champion at long last and Seth blocking his path every step of the way by possibly being the guy to cash in that briefcase on whoever is the Universal Champion. It could be Roman Reigns, could be Drew McIntyre, could be somebody else, but he would definitely play spoiler on Cody's path to WrestleMania with a championship on the line. Next up is Riddle versus Tommaso Ciampa, and this match was good for what it was, but Ciampa's run on Monday Night Raw has been very lackluster. He attacks people at random and he never explains himself, which leaves his matches very cold. Ciampa is a great promo. He can talk, he can speak, he can get himself over on the mic, and unfortunately he's not given chances to do that, but his match against Riddle was pretty good. He went after the foot by stomping on it repeatedly. He bends the toes at one point for ultimate insult to injury. Then he delivers a gnarly knee strike on Riddle for a very close near fall. Riddle eventually fights back. He lands a power slam on Ciampa a la Randy Orton, followed by a dripping DDT. Hits the final flash knee and the floating bro from the top rope before laying out Ciampa with an RKO out of nowhere for the win, as he is ready to go to face Roman Reigns this Friday on SmackDown for the Undisputed Universal Championship. Next up is Bianca Belair cutting a promo on Rhea Ripley ahead of their Raw Women's Championship match at Money in the Bank. The promo was fine, as Bianca Belair notes that Rhea Ripley and her have been kind of in this thing together during their tenure on the main roster, been a part of some key moments at the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, always being the top two or final three in every situation, becoming champion together at last year's WrestleMania. But since then, Rhea has gone soulless since joining Judgment Day, and she's ready to fight her at Money in the Bank to be the quickest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the EST of WWE. And Rhea Ripley says, you have to say these things to make yourself look good. I don't call myself intimidating. I just go out there and do what I need to do. You need catchphrases to uplift yourself because you need the affirmation from the people. Once you shake that off, then maybe you got a chance to beat me to retain your championship at Money in the Bank. But we both know that's not going to happen, as Balor and Damian Priest give Bianca Belair a warning that they are no longer under anyone's control, as they bounced Edge from the crew last week and Rhea vows to be a two-time women's champion when it's all said and done after Money in the Bank. And I thought that was a pretty solid promo by Rhea Ripley. I do laugh at the fact that even though Edge has been kicked out of Judgment Day, the crew is kept. Alter Bridges the Other Side as their theme song is badass. I would keep it too, but I expect Edge to strike back at Money in the Bank to make sure Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, and Finn Balor pay for excommunicating him from his own group. Next up is Veer Mahan versus Rey Mysterio. This match was just fine, as Rey was trying to fight throughout this match. At one point, Veer Mahan goes after Dominic by booting him in the face and clotheslining him over the barricade. Rey goes for a 619 attempt. He misses, and he avoids the million-dollar lariat a couple of times, gets dropped with a gutbuster instead by Veer before tapping out to the cervical clutch a short time later. This was a nice showcase for Veer, but poor Rey. What a way to go down on this particular night. It's about building up Veer Mahan, but Rey is a fucking legend and should be treated as such in every sense of the word. And last night, he fell short of that due to some questionable booking by WWE. Next up is Mustafa Ali versus Chad Gable. The match was good for the time they were given. You can't miss with these two. And Chad Gable was dropped with a tornado DDT by Ali. Ali goes up top with a 450 splash. Otis provides a distraction, which allows Gable to hit the Chaos Theory German suplex into a bridge for the win. Very cool finisher as always, as Mustafa Ali is back to his losing ways, which sucks on Monday nights. And I just want this dude to be valued for the star that he is. And this booking thus far has definitely been a choice, and not a good one at that. And now it's time for our main event. Our main event of Monday Night Raw is a pose-off between the youngest United States champion in history, Austin Theory, versus Bobby Lashley, officiated by Adam Pearce. This really happened in the closing segment of Monday Night Raw to counter program Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and Boston Celtics. So we got Austin Theory flexing his biceps, his side chest, and all the muscles. Bobby Lashley outflexes, outmuscles, outposes Austin Theory. He wins via popular vote, and Austin Theory fights back by spraying baby oil all over the eyes of Bobby Lashley to blind him, to boot him from the ring, and to take a selfie behind Bobby's back as Raw goes off the air at the top of the hour to plug episode 3 of Miz and Mrs. on USA. That really happened. I recapped a pose-off during the main event segment of Monday Night Raw, the flagship show of WWE. Choices and not a good one. I'm hoping that Bobby takes the U.S. title away from Austin Theory so Theory can talk shit about John Cena and Cena can ether him on the mic, because none of this was it to close out Monday Night Raw. It was just a waste. And I'm sure one guy back there enjoyed this in the form of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, because he's all about the body, body, body. And last night was definitely a prime example of that. And overall, I thought this was a so-so episode of Monday Night Raw, carried by Styles versus Rollins during the third hour. Otherwise, this is just a show. Cody Rhodes will be missed for the next 6 months. He brought star power, the countdown clock, and pyro. And now we have not much, not even Roman Reigns pulling double duty as the undisputed Universal Champion. We need some star power back on this show. It's few and far between right now. Rollins can only do so much, but we need more to really carry the load on Monday nights heading into Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and ultimately Clash of the Castle in Cardiff, Wales in a couple of months' time. And on that note, hope this wraps up episode number 125 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at LaterWrestlingX on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleTopia. There you can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows, the drop in the semi-daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and AEW Rampage on TNT. You know what to do, search WrestleTopia and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. I'll be back tomorrow morning with episode number 74 of the NXT Nightcap, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's developmental brand. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday. Stay safe out there and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.